So when I've been preaching, we've been looking at Philippians, and we're going to continue to do that here today. We're going to pick up where we left off last time from Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 15 through to chapter 4 and verse 1, the first verse of chapter 4. So Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 15 and continuing on to verse 1 of chapter 4. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. All of us who are mature then should take such a view of things. But about what things? See, I've not summed up really what I've said in and what the passage has been saying previously, because basically that's what we've got to do now anyway. What are the things that Paul wants us to take a viewpoint on? Well, if we look back at the passage in Philippians 3 and verses 4 to 6, Paul is talking about the way that he used to live, his old life, and just how spectacularly he managed to get it wrong. See, he thought he was pleasing God. He thought he was meeting all of God's requirements. But then when Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, he saw that he'd been going in completely the wrong direction. That instead of devoting his life to serve God, he was actually doing the enemy's work. Because Jesus was the Messiah. And all of the work that Paul had done to try and stamp out the followers of Jesus, he realized he'd been doing Satan's work instead. All of the things that his life was based on, it all came crashing down. No matter how hard we work, we cannot make ourselves right with God. Paul came to that discovery, and boy, did he work hard. You know, he says, if anyone thinks he's got reason to be confident in their flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. He said, if anybody could have earned God's favor, it was me, because of the background that I had, because of the things that I did, the lengths that I was prepared to go. But he was heading off in the wrong direction. He hadn't understood. It's not the things that we do for God that matter. It's where our hearts are. We can't make ourselves right with God. Even our righteous acts, you know, the best that we can do, it's just like filthy rags in God's sight. And if that's how our best looks like, what about our worst? We can't earn favor with God. We can't work our way to heaven. That's the first thing that we've got to understand and to recognize. And next, we can only be right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That was that insight that Paul gained there when Jesus spoke to him on the Damascus Road, that it wasn't all about what you can do, but you just have to receive that gift of God by faith. You got to believe that when Jesus lived on the earth, that he was able to fully meet all of the requirements that God had, that he was able to meet them perfectly. And then that when he went to the cross, that he took your sins and mine on himself there and paid the penalty. And so there's this incredible swap that goes on. Christ's righteousness for our sinfulness. And we receive that righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus, by believing that it was for my sin that he died, that it was for your sin, and that because he was raised from the dead, that that price was paid, and that now we're clean in God's sight and we've got access to God and all of the other benefits that come from what Jesus has done. So all who are mature must take a view of such things, that we can't work our way to heaven, but that it is through faith in Christ Jesus. Next slide, please. But also, those of us who are mature in such things need to take such a view of things that knowing Jesus is our greatest privilege. Paul says that he considers everything that he used to hold in high regard, he considers it all nothing now compared to knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. Have we recognized that? That's the main thing. Knowing Jesus is what we should be spending our lives on. That should be the focus that we have. To be able to know him more. To be able to understand him more. And next, Paul wants us all to recognize that we are just works in progress. You know, he says in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect. He's saying, look, I'm not the finished article. I haven't got everything completely sorted in my life. There's still a way to go. God's still working on me. He hasn't finished with me yet. You know, sometimes we can get full of ourselves and we can think, oh, well, doing pretty good, thanks, yeah. It's all going well. But the closer that we actually get to God, the more conscious we are of how far we still fall short of what he wants for us. And it's this, one of the signs of maturity, having that view of such things, that we're not there yet. But Paul recognizes, all right, we're not there yet. But he says, I press on. He says it in verse 12, I press on. Verse 14, I press on. Perseverance. You know, we're going to need that perseverance as we follow the Lord Jesus. Because we'll encounter difficulties in our lives. There'll be setbacks. There'll be struggles that we face. So we need to persevere. And we've got to recognize that. We've got to understand that it's not all just going to be blessing after blessing that falls down into our lap. But there will be hardships, there will be difficulties, there will be times of trial and testing. So we've got to have our eyes open, we've got to be realistic about these things, and Paul encourages us to have that viewpoint. Then again, we need to grab the opportunities that we are given. Paul says that I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You see, Jesus has taken a hold on each one of our lives, not just because he thought, well, that's a nice thing to do, but it was for a purpose, so that we can do something for him with those lives. And Paul says, I'm pressing on, and I'm going to fulfill that purpose that God has placed on my life. And those of us who are mature, that we need to have that viewpoint as well, that we're going to fulfill the things that God has prepared for us to do. There's work that he wants us to do. He puts us as in situations where we are the only people who are there. And he expects us to do the good there that he calls us to do. To be salt and to be light in this world. Are we going to take hold of our destinies? Are we going to do what God is calling us to do? If we're mature, then yes, we will do. We grab those opportunities. We've got to be focused on the task as well. It's all too easy, isn't it, to just let the busyness of life to kind of crowd in. I know that when I'm talking about my work, I tend to say, well, it's just keeping the plate spinning a lot of the time. There's so many different tasks that I need to try and work through that very rarely will I actually get the chance to sit down and think, okay, just focus on this one thing, because something else will always crop up in the meantime. And then, yes, I've got to keep on progressing that first thing, but then there's this second task and this third one and this fourth one. And it's like I'm trying to keep the plate spinning there. Paul says, you've got to focus on the main thing. You've got to keep the main thing, and not get distracted and not let your energy get diverted into all of these other things. You've got to keep focused on the call that God has for your life and on doing what it is that he's called you to. We've got to make sure that the past doesn't hold us back. Paul says, forgetting what is behind in verse 13 there. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You know, sometimes the past can hold us back because we look to the great experiences that we've had there. And we keep on kind of thinking, oh, if only I was back in that place. If only I'd had those experiences again. And the act of us looking back to those good times that we've had prevents us from achieving our potential here in the present. We've not got to do that. And then sometimes we can look back and we can think, oh, look at how I've messed it up. But surely, you know, God isn't gonna use me because look at my past. And Paul says for both of those circumstances, we should just forget what's behind. We need to live in the present. We need to strain towards what God has got for us ahead. So we've not got to be held back. And discovering God's will and realizing God's purpose in our lives is something which takes effort. Like I said, it's not just going to be all blessings dropping down from heaven for us to be there, sitting down and just able to and ready to receive all of this stuff. Sometimes we've got to work at it. We've got to push on through. We've got to strain towards what is ahead in order that might be realized in our lives. So these things need to be our viewpoint. This is to be our perspective in life. This is what we've got to bear in mind as we look into God's word and as we see those things. All of us who are mature should take a view of such things. But then Paul goes on and he says, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Do you understand what he's saying there? You see, sometimes what we can do is we can get so kind of bound up in what we believe. And we can say, well, of course, the Bible says this. And if someone has a slightly different interpretation, we go, but no, the Bible says this, and I'm right. But what Paul is saying here is that as we draw closer to God, then sometimes our understanding will change. And as we draw closer to God and as we deepen our fellowship with him, then sometimes our understanding changes and the interpretation of what we read changes. But if we're dogmatically just holding on to certain things, that's just going to cause conflict. And Paul doesn't want God's people to be in conflict with one another. He wants us to pray for understanding. He wants us to see one another's point of view so that we can be united in what we believe. That's not to say that we compromise, but it's to say that we use our minds to understand and to be able to gain perspective from slightly different interpretations, rather than just saying, well, I'm right, you know. It's got to be my way. God's way is my way. No. We've got to make our way God's way. And if on some point we think differently, then God too will make it clear to us. We've got to be open to God's voice so that it might be clear, so that we might be united. And he says, only let us live up to what we've already attained. How about you here today? Let us live up to what we've already attained. I just want you to visualize, if you can do, a time when you have been as close to God as you have ever been. When it seemed like, you know, you could hear his voice really clearly. It seemed like his presence was truly with you. It was a time of blessing, perhaps. Sometimes it might have been a time of hardship, because often God appears and seems closer to us when we're going through difficulties. That's when we really feel his presence with us. But what about now? If that was the height that you have reached, have you slipped back somewhat from that position, from that point? Paul encourages us to live up to what we've already attained. Don't let it slip. He was pushing on. He was trying to get higher, to get closer to God, to understand God more. And he says that's what we need to be doing as well. Not to slip back from those high points that we've received, but to build on them. To make that our base camp for pushing on further and higher and closer to God and deeper in our relationship with him. Let's not let it slip back. Let's live up to what we've already attained. And then he goes on to tell us about the importance that we have of a fellowship and encouragement. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. Just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Fellowship is important. Joining us together is important. It's how we can encourage one another. We need each other, you see. In trying to know God more and in walking with Jesus each day, we're not just to be kind of isolated people, just kind of traveling our own path. We're a community. God calls us to be a family. We're all part of his body. So we need to set a good example to one another. We need to learn from one another's experience, so that we don't repeat mistakes that other people have made, but so that we learn from them. And where we've experienced blessing, we need to share that with one another so that we can encourage each other, so that we can support one another. And in order for that to happen, we need to gather together. We can't just sit at home. Now we're all here now and we can all go, yeah, those people that haven't turned up this morning, you know, they're really missing out on that because they're not here. But whilst we are here, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to make sure that we encourage one another now that we're here together this morning? That we support one another where we can? That we help one another out? If we just kind of come together and go through the motions, that's not the support and the encouragement that Paul is talking about. And he says that we, you know, if there's a good example there, that we need to follow it. You know, he says to some of the folk in the church that he's founded, or the churches that he's founded. You follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what we should be doing. Yes, our focus should be 100% on Jesus. But where we have one another, we can look to one another and how we behave. How we step out in faith. The things that we're able to do, and we're to follow that pattern and to build on those foundations. Now, it's not that that's what makes us Christians live in a certain way. It's the fact that when we realize what God has done for us, after we've come to faith in Jesus, that has an impact on the way that we live, that we're different as people. It's not that we need to live like that to show that we are Christians, it's that as we are Christians, we will live like that. And part of the reason why Paul tells us that we need to join with others in following his example as he was following Jesus was because of the opposition that's going to come. He says, "For as I've often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." And Paul had first-hand experience of the opposition. You know, it was a tangible, it was a physical thing for him when he traveled around on his missionary journeys. The opposition came to prevent him from continuing in place after place. And even as he's writing this letter now, he's at house arrest in Rome. He's not able to go where he wants to go and to do what he wants to do. He's a prisoner in his own home. And we've got to recognize and to realize that there will be opposition. You see, if we isolate ourselves, if we just think, well, you know, of course the thing that really matters is my relationship with God rather than all of this corporate stuff. Well, yes, our relationship with God is the thing that really matters, but if we isolate ourselves, then we're going to be vulnerable to the opposition that comes. Whereas if we gather together, if we join together in following that right example, then we can support one another. But I think as Paul wrote these words, he also had in mind that he used to be one like that. He used to be an enemy of the cross of Christ. He persecuted the church. When Stephen was being stoned, Paul was there holding the coats, the outer garments of those people who were there throwing the stones. He was given approval to the death of that godly man. Now we wouldn't have been so active in being enemies of the cross of Christ, would we not? But still, we were like the people that Paul outlines in that verse. Destiny being destruction. It's a life or death situation. Do we realize that? Our opponents are on a broad road and it's leading to destruction. What are we doing about that? There needs to be that urgency, doesn't there, in telling people about the love of God. We used to live selfishly. We used to take joy in our shame. having our minds on earthly things. And you see how that is celebrated. You know, you only need to pick up a newspaper or a magazine and you know, it's thought, oh, such and such a person, you know, they've blown this amount of money on this or that. You know, the old sex and drugs and rock and roll, it's still something which is celebrated. Their glory is in their shame. We've got to be careful that we don't fall into that pattern of thinking or fall back into that pattern of thinking again. But the good news is that it's different for us. What Paul once was, what we once were, is different now. We were enemies of God, but now, through the work of Jesus on the cross, we're family. We're his adopted sons and daughters. We were destined for destruction. Now, we're destined for glory. We were living selfishly and suffering all of the frustrations that that brings, but now we can enjoy freedom by living for the Lord, following the path that he's marked out for us. And that's where true satisfaction lies. We were people who delighted in sin. Now we're able to have that sin removed from us as far as the east is from the west. We were once earthly minded, but now we can have our mind fixed on the life that is to come. We're citizens of heaven. We've got Jesus as our Saviour, destined to be glorious, and we're able to stand firm. Citizenship was important, particularly in Paul's day. If you were a Roman citizen, that meant that you couldn't just be pushed around, be bossed around, that you had rights. And so Paul writes that down, that we are citizens of heaven. That's an important thing. That we have rights, we have privileges as a result of who we are. In verse 21, Paul says, well, verse 20 and 21, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like, that they will be like his glorious body. We're looking forward to that happening. This is one of those other occasions where that's not just pie in the sky when you die, but it's steak on the plate while you wait. Yes, our bodies might not be kind of magically transformed into the bodies of great athletes. They're aging. But we can have that inner transformation so that we become more and more like Jesus every day, so that we can draw closer to him every day. And then God's power is at work in us to transform us inwardly right now. And then when that time comes, the external change will take place as well, and we'll have a glorious body to match our glorious personality. Because of the work and the power of God in our lives, then we can stand firm. So how do we conclude then? How do we wrap up the things that we've looked at here today? Well, if you've never come to faith in Christ Jesus, if you've thought that you can get by on your own, if you look at your life and say, well, I'm not so bad, you see. I'm doing what I can. I come along to church here. I read my Bible and I pray. I'm okay. I'm doing what I can do to be able to get to where I need to go. Friend, you need to recognize, like the Apostle Paul did, that you can't do it on your own. Even the best that you can do doesn't measure up anything like to where God's standards are. You need to let go of that and to recognize that, no, I can't do it. But Lord Jesus, thank you because you did do it. You need to receive Jesus as your Savior. Put your faith in him. But if you are a Christian already, then where do you stand right now? Are you as close to God as you have ever been? Or have you just slipped back? Have you stopped living up to what you've already attained? This morning, I'm sure that God's voice wants to speak to you and to say, get back to where you were, and then push on. Know me more. Follow me in a deeper way. Draw closer to me. Thirdly, what about the opportunities that we face each day? John, when he preached last week, said, you know, every year has 365 days. Those opportunities that come about day by day, are we ready to take them? Are we looking around for the ways in which God wants to use us? Remember, Paul says that there are many who are living as enemies of the cross of Christ. Everyone who hasn't put their faith in him is an enemy. And their destiny right now is destruction. So we need to have an urgency. We need to look for those opportunities to bring the good news to them. And we need to take those opportunities. And also, we need to take the opportunities that God gives us to encourage one another, to support one another, to help one another, so that we can remember what God has done for us, so that we can experience the power of him working through this fellowship, so that we can see his kingdom come and his will be done in this place. We need to stand firm and to do what he's calling us to do. How is God calling you here today? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are here by your Spirit. Thank you that as we've read your word, Lord, you've been speaking to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that we might just respond to your call on our lives right now. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who hasn't taken that step of faith, who hasn't changed the way that they think and understand, Lord, to recognize that they can't do it by themselves. That there's nothing that we can do to be able to earn our way to heaven. But that it is only through faith in what Jesus has done. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who hasn't taken that step so far, Lord, may they take it now. Just to say, sorry, I've been going the wrong way completely. But from now on, Lord, lead me and guide me. I want to go your way. Lord, you know where we are before you right now. You know if we've slipped back to where we once were. Lord, restore us now, I pray. Lord, help us to have that joy once again as we look into your word, as we hear your voice speaking to us, as we are able to worship you. Restore us, and then help us to push on, to draw closer to you, to understand you more, to make living for you and knowing you more just the focus of our lives. Lord, let's leave the past behind. Let's not get tied down with that baggage, but instead, Lord, to look to you, to follow you, to move closer to you. Father God, help us to recognize the urgency that we have in our mission. Lord, the opportunities that we face this day will only come about today. There might be further opportunities tomorrow, but we cannot guarantee that. So Lord, help us, I pray, to seize those opportunities you bring to us and to speak out the good news of that there is a God in heaven who loves the world so much that he sent his one and only Son so that they might not perish but have everlasting life. Help us to bring that good news whenever and wherever we can. And Lord, help us to encourage one another as we see your work in our lives. Lord, you've done so many wonderful and great things to us. Lord, yes, this year has started with difficulties, but Lord, it's also started with blessing, with encouragement, with your promises to us. And we know that because you are by our side, we can stand firm. So help us to respond to you now in the way that you're calling us to go, to say, yes, Lord, we'll do your will. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.